Hi, and welcome to another edition of Visions. With me, Yudalee Vikam Ashby. And today, as promised, last week, I told you I'll have Graham Vaughan back with me. And he's right here to continue our conversation about living after his motorcycle accident and adjusting to his impairments psychologically, emotionally, and physically. So last week, we heard from Graham, you know, a little about his childhood, just being the average child growing up in St. Philip, and then moving on to secondary school, into the life of work, teaching at Dighton Griffith, and then into working as a journalist broadcaster at Starcom. And then we spoke a little about his accident and adjusting through rehabilitation after his accident. So Graham, welcome back.
Thank you very much, Yudalee.
Right. So last week, we ended when you shared about, you know, going up to England and having this surgery and going through the rehabilitation process and just mentally, emotionally, physically adjusting to life after broken bones and just being mended again. So let us just end off that conversation around your rehabilitation and what more would you like to see happen in Barbados in this field of rehabilitation to help more of our vehicular accident patients as well as other individuals who do require rehabilitation.
All right. I hope I'm not taken to task for going this direction. But let me say first and foremost, Barbados has excellent people in its medical services. They are second to none as far as I am concerned. I did have the experience of rehabilitation in England, spent time in one of the hospitals up there on a private suite because it was done privately, the surgery. And I can compare the two. And we are not second to them by any means, all right, or personnel. Mm-hmm. The systems, however, the systems, I believe, really and truly could use careful examination. One simple one I'll go at is that when I was overseas, my rehabilitation was taken on by the persons who were involved, pain management, by the physio, by the surgeon, by everybody involved. It was a team effort. It was not a, okay, now I'm going to hand you off to the physiotherapist. Okay. It was a team effort. Everybody shared information. Everybody came back and said, well, this is where the person is in this area. This is where the person is in psychiatry. And that, I think, is something that we need to graduate to, mm-hmm. where everybody is involved. In the case of this one person, it's a team effort rebuilding this person, okay? Not even into who they were, because any medical professional would tell you, they cannot guarantee you that you're going to get back where you were before, okay? I, so far, have not reached where I was before. I'd like to think that I was a little bit athletic. My waist would argue that point against me, probably, but I would like to think that I was athletic. I played football, good afternoon to survivors, the team, mm-hmm. and of course the college volleyballers, they know me. I played with them from school right into club level. So I enjoyed activity. I enjoyed going out and doing a hike, doing this, that, and that. And so far I've not been able to reclaim that. And there is no guarantee that I ever will. All right. As far as the medical team is concerned, I've heard something different from my spiritual team from the Lord, but we won't get into that. But the point is that there needs to be a concerted effort where instead of the physiotherapist is doing their thing and the surgeon has done his thing and the pain management specialist is doing their thing and the psychologist is doing their thing. There needs to be a concerted effort, especially for persons who are coming out of the surgery, still in the care of the hospital and such. Like, it needs to be a case where it isn't just the surgeon that's seeing them there. It needs to be everybody. It needs to be a team in the hospital that is attached to this particular person. And they can follow up then after the person leaves primary care and are rehabilitating otherwise, then they could follow it with the same team or move on to a different team. But even if they move on to a different team, that person, the new medical professional, needs to slot into the team and become a part of, this whole process altogether. And I think that's something that we really do need to move on to.
I agree with you wholeheartedly, Graham. And I think for me, one of the big areas is the psychological, psychiatry aspect of helping the individual to mentally adjust and cope with all the different changes that are coming in their life at once, you know? So it's that area that I think I would like to see some more effort placed in.
May I speak directly to that, Udalee? Sorry to cross you. I thought I was good. I remember at the presentation, Starcom had a concert on my behalf. It was held at the Sanctuary Empowerment Center on my birthday in 2018, Saturday, the 29th of September. And lots of people showed up, and all of the proceeds were passed off to me, and it was several thousand dollars. And I cannot thank everybody who was involved enough. Thank you very much. And I thought I was good. At the presentation ceremony, my dad said in a private thing, and I know he's going to spike me for letting this out, but he told the people who were assembled there, he didn't want it broadcast, but he said he felt like he had learned how to suffer well watching me go through this process. And that was still 2018. That was early in the process. And I felt good. I felt like, yes, I am doing well. Thank you, Lord. I am representing you well. I'm not sulking. I'm not putting everything down. I'm not making your name ashamed or anything like that. And 2019 hit and some revelations came. And then came the whole COVID situation, which delayed my going for surgery. And during that extended period of time, Udaly, I had to fight myself. I had to fight the darkness. I had to fight the thoughts. I had to fight the, you're not going to be able to do this. I had to fight against my own inability and sometimes my own tricking myself. There was a moment after the rehabilitative surgery in England when I sat on the edge of the bed and called my parents and said, I cannot believe this. Look at my leg. And when I looked what I was showing them, it really looked like my knee, my right knee, was about an inch shorter than my left knee. I said, but I thought he said he wasn't going to cut anything. I thought nothing would be changed. He said, we're going to bring you back. And I quarreled with God. I said, God, you said full restoration. How could this be? How are we going to fix this now? Didn't grow back my bone. And to tell you the truth, I did say to God during that time, if anybody can do it, you can do it. And I'm going to trust that you are going to do it. But I still was fighting that feeling of malaise and depression, that things have gone horribly wrong. But went to the doctor, and that was a couple weeks later, and went and sat down with him, and I said, but I thought, look at this, and look at the situation. And I showed him. I said, but that's strange. That shouldn't be. And he asked me to lay down, and he took his thing and started to measure, and he dug in quite painfully into the hip and said, I need to find this spot. And then he measured, and he said, both your legs are the same length. You know what I was doing? I was sitting so badly that my right hip was behind my left, causing my right knee to appear shorter than my left. But he took me and guided me and said, okay, this is how you should be sitting, and got me sitting correctly. And I had fooled myself into going into a depressive state, thinking that God had failed me. I was not
Well,
okay. I
right.
am grateful that my legal team insisted that I speak to a psychiatrist and that I made sure I talked to them about how I was going on, because that brought out a whole bunch of other things as well. So I highly recommend, in fact, I don't think anybody should take this as an indication that You wait till you get into some kind of physical trauma to say, I'm going to go and get some therapy. I'm going to go and check my mental health. We go for physical checkups. I honestly believe that we should all go for mental checkups. And it doesn't have to be a psychiatrist. Go and speak to
A psychologist,
somebody, a psychologist,
doctor,
speak to your pastor, speak to somebody who has experience, preferably somebody trained specifically for it. Sometimes even a good friend is good enough. I am not advertising or anything like that because I'm going to tell anybody who comes to me right now untrained. But I do this for certain friends of mine. I literally speak to friends of mine and help them walk through situations in their lives that they're facing and they're finding difficulty with. And if you've got a good friend who can do that, by all means, find them, unburden yourself, talk to them, explain how life is influencing you. Because Genesis 2 says it, it's not good that man should be alone.
No.
Don't face anything like this alone. It is the worst thing you can do.
And I think it is critical for that psychological counseling to take place after any major accident, minor accident. The trauma that comes needs to be addressed. And if we are working towards rehabilitating our persons to go back into the workforce, then we have to help them to adjust mentally and stabilize themselves and look positively down the road rather than remaining in a depressive state or just feeling hopeless. I think that's critical.
You are absolutely right. And I don't think that genuinely and generally, a regular able-bodied person for whom life is going generally in the direction in which they think it should go understands how swiftly anything can turn you from that into somebody who is reticent, who is shying away from the world, who, is just antisocial, and just turn you completely around because of a trauma. And again, yes, we are talking about physical trauma, but mental trauma, grief, anything. That's why you need grief counseling. Somebody has to help you process what is going on, especially for the simple reason that we have lost the art of teaching children how to process their emotions. So we have a lot of adults running around who can't.
No, Graham, you spoke about the rehabilitation process, the teamwork that you witnessed in England, and what, can be adjusted to fit Barbados. Let's now talk about how your wife's stepdaughter adjusted to you after the accident, after the incident, as you would say. Because we know the importance of having family support, loving, strong family support for that individual who is ill or has a disability or going through a difficult period in life. That family support is so vital to helping them regain balance and feel loved and appreciated. How did your wife adjust it? How did she, talk with you in relation to the situation?
I think, and it will start with her and then it will branch off because there were far more people involved than just her. But yes, she was definitely central and continues to be central to my recovery and my rehabilitation. Understand first that things like this can massively stress a relationship. It is a huge stressor because, again, you have to come to terms with the fact that the person that you wanted to be with has gone. Get it through your head. That person is gone forever. There's somebody else there now. And you almost have to recreate your relationship from scratch. The person looks the same or may not, or the person may sound the same or may not. There may be similarities. But that person is a completely different person. Their resources that they used to call upon in their relationship with you that they no longer can. And again, going back to mental health, I'm still going to the psychiatrist. That's something that continues to come up. She does not fail to ask that question. How is your relationship with your wife? How is your sexual life? All of these things are critical. And I have to really, raise a toast to my wife. She stepped up. I mean, she really stepped up. Let me explain. When this whole thing happened, we were staying at my parents' for a period of time. And my dad, he threw everything into my rehabilitation. He took time off from his office. My mom was there too, but she was retired. But my dad took time off from work. My wife, she was given a little bit of time off from work, but she eventually had to go back to work. So then her day, instead of just going to work and coming home, ended up being get up, make sure that certain things are in place for Graham, get ready for work, go through the door. She would call during the day to make sure everything was okay, everything is going well. And yes, I did have nurses and all that, but then she would come home and be checking to make sure I got something to eat and everything, and spend some time with me then, watch, one of the shows we would watch or something like that. And then she had to go to bed and do that all over again. And that was initially when I had the nurses. But when eventually the decision was made, Graham has recovered enough that we don't need the nurses all the time. And then whose job was it to look after me in the night? My wife's. She was the one in the room with me. She's the one I had to wake up and say, hon, I need to do this, or I need some water, I need whatever. And she had to get up and go and do it. And she was still working and still trying to cook and still trying to do things around the house. And that continues now because I'm no longer with my parents and we have moved out and we are in our own place. And who had to look after me all the time that I was here? She did, right? And she would get up, prepare some breakfast, go to work, and then rush home for lunch to try to make sure that I had lunch and everything. And even though I was at that time ambulatory and could get to the kitchen and such like, but she would rush home, make sure that I had lunch, and rush back down to finish work, to come home, to cook dinner. You can understand what I'm saying. So it was a massive sacrifice of love and time and effort and energy on her part.
And I'm
And
sure a few tears.
more than a few, more than a few. But a lot of those tears I found out about after the fact. I didn't find out about them while she was doing all this because the whole thing was maintain the brave face, maintain the smile in
Yes.
front of Graham. So all of that then, eventually I had to say, I need you to talk to this counselor and just talk to him and let him go through with you what you have experienced and what you have happening. And again, everybody needs to do this at some level. My parents did, my stepdaughter did. It affected her as well, even though at the time she was at Barbados Community College. And she kept plugging on, but it affected her, and there is a change in the person that is affected by trauma that you do have to come to terms with. And again, please understand this trauma can be the loss of a loved one, somebody's father or mother dying can really throw them for a loop. Loss of job, loss of stability, financial stability, all kinds of different things can cause people to change on you. And if you're in a relationship, you recognize this. Number one, give the person grace. And one of the things I like to remind people is grace is love if you're giving it to somebody who deserves it. Okay? You love somebody and they love you back and it's all nice and wonderful. We love to hear about love. But marriages need to be built on grace
Yes.
because grace is for people who don't deserve it. Grace is for the person who snaps at you. Grace is for the person who just takes out all their, the things
Frustrated
they couldn't say to their
and everything.
boss,
Yes.
they're saying to you. And when I say saying to you, I don't mean that they're telling you about their day. I'm saying that they're yammering your head off because their day was horrible. Or they decide they don't want to do this for you. And you have to decide in that moment, to give them grace, because your relationship can't survive without it. Now, one, the truth is that no relationship can survive on only one person propping it up. It takes two
No.
people to make a bridge, one from this side and one from that side. But both people, if you are the one who is struggling to try to make the relationship work, you have to sit down and seriously ask the person whether or not they want it. And if they do, here are the things that you're going to have to do going forward to be able to make it work. And one of those things has to be both of you going to a professional counselor, preferably somebody that you don't know personally, because that always ends up being a situation of, does your friend and she or
Yes.
he taking your side? So you need to go to somebody, a professional who was recommended. You can call the paramedical council and ask for a recommendation or something and go. Because at the end of the day, you'd be surprised that you who think you are walking good and you are, handling things all right, you are actually feeding into the problem.
Yes, and have some inner turmoil that needs to be resolved.
Yeah, exactly.
So, what about your stepdaughter? How did you help her adjust and release some of the turmoil that she too was experiencing?
I don't know if I helped. I genuinely don't know if I helped. I think her mother was probably a bigger asset in that fight. And I think it did strain our relationship a bit. We're still working on those things, but she spent a lot of time talking with her mother. She really relies on her mother deeply for a lot. And I encourage that. I am happy that she does that. And I pray that that continues always. But she's moved from being a teen to being a big woman now. This is 5+ years on. So
Yes.
she's currently at the University of the West Indies, and she's working hard, and I have nothing but respect and love for her, the way that she's going forward. But as
I
far as
think.
the accident is concerned, I think, she came to terms with it in her own way.
Now, Graham, one of my observations is that teenagers and young adults, more so than the younger children, tend to have a lot more emotions towards the individual who has an illness or an impairment. And sometimes they're not able to fully understand it or even explain it. So I think, we have to also show some measure of understanding and help these young people to walk through this journey, recognizing that there will always be people with differences and that you need to just make your own adjustments and build relationships,
For sure.
Yes. So as we look to the future, Graham, you've come a long way. You've been mentally adjusting, physically adjusting, spiritually, emotionally. What would you say the future looks like? One, and two, what word of encouragement, guidance would you offer to persons who acquire disabilities, because it's a difficult process moving from being able-bodied, moving around, doing your own stuff, and so on, then to be a bit more reliant on other individuals for some of your needs.
First, the future, I think, looks bright. It was June 15th, 2021, that I went under the knife for my rehabilitative surgery in England. It was exactly 1 year later that I returned to more or less full-time work at Starcom Network. That was, when I took over the afternoon shift on Life 97.5 again. God willing, I'll go back there, but one of the things that I have to say in encouragement is, as quickly as the trauma occurs, joy can occur. And one of the things that I had to learn in the fight against depression, the fight against my negative side, was that I had to choose the positive side. Warren said it very well. He said his wife talked about having two tracks. It's a train on two tracks. And one side is negative and one side is positive. and they both run along together. You have to decide which one of these traps are you going to lean on, are you going to rely on? And I want to encourage people to always choose the positive, not because the circumstances are positive, but because you are. And sometimes your own attitude can change the circumstance to make things better.
Graham, it really has been wonderful chatting with you, and I want to salute you for being so candid in sharing, your personal experiences, your journey in moving forward after your incident. And I also want to salute Starcom Network for showing you grace and really demonstrating what employers can do and need to do for their staff members who may acquire a disability or may be experiencing a severe health crisis. Just being there to support them and giving them that opportunity to return to work. So I want to
Yes,
say
I am.
thank you again.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Visions with me, Yudeli Wickham Ashby, and my very special guest, Graeme Vaughan. You can reach out on 1246-269-9660 or 1246-430-7300, and you can email at visionsbarbados@gmail.com. And of course, you can listen to this and past episodes on the VOB92.9.com website. So until next week, be safe, be productive, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Ciao!